Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 24th of January, 2018. I'm Sue.
I'm Louise.
And I'm Margaret.
And now Louise will start us off with the news.
Obesity levels among nurses at a Black Country hospital need to be tackled, a top director has suggested. Health bosses at Russell's Hall Hospital in Dudley have been advised to look at the issue of obesity among staff in a sensitive way. The comments were made by Richard Miner, a non-executive director at the Dudley Group NHS Trust, which runs Russell's Hall, who pushed for action to ensure nurses were healthy. It comes following research which found one in four nurses nationally was classed as obese. Minutes of a board meeting in December recorded Mr. Miner asking for health experts to keep on top of the issue. A Trust board report said, Mr. Miner, non-executive director, advised that he had raised the issue of obesity at a previous board and commented on the recently published research on obesity levels amongst nursing staff. He suggested that this may be something for the workforce committee to look at in a sensitive way. The director of HR confirmed that part of the new HR manager's portfolio is to look at health and well-being of staff. A spokeswoman said hospital chiefs don't believe we have an obesity problem, but added staff are supported to make healthy choices. A spokeswoman said, the Trust proactively promotes healthy lifestyles and healthy eating amongst both our staff and patients. We support staff with a choice of healthy food options in the restaurants and by advertising the fresh fruit and vegetable at the entrance to Russell's Hall Hospital. There is also a gym on site with reduced membership rates for staff, alongside a number of other initiatives. We don't believe we have an obesity problem amongst nursing staff or any other particular staff group. However, we continue to support our staff to make healthy choices. Research published last month found a quarter of NHS nurses are obese and that this could be contributing to high staff sickness levels and piling more pressure on the health service.
An eyesore former pub will be turned into a supermarket 2 years after closing, dashing hopes that it could be reopened. Owners of the Hasbury Inn have confirmed work will now start on converting the pub in Halesowen into a co-op within weeks. Campaigners had hoped the pub on Hagley Road could be saved after it appeared plans to create a shop had stalled. Ward councillors have raised concerns about antisocial behaviour, vandalism and fly-tipping on the site, which has been left vacant since the pub, formerly known as the Beehive, closed down. Councillor Simon Phipps said the move would be bad for local business, but was happy something was being done. He said they said they were looking to start building in the next 6 to 8 weeks. I'm still not a fan of a shop being on that site. It is bad for local businesses, but it is bad for local residents, particularly with the noise, with the deliveries that will be made. At least I am happy that something is going to be there. A petition opposing the scheme in August 2015 was signed by 674 people as part of a Save the Hasbury Inn campaign. David Shipton, pub portfolio director for owners New River, said, the closure of a pub would always be a last resort for us. We reviewed the historic trading performance of the Hasbury Inn and regrettably it was concluded that the pub is not financially viable and did not have a sustainable future. Dudley Metropolitan Borough Council has given planning permission for a new convenience store to be operated by the co-op to provide a new high-quality grocery offer for the community. Work will commence on delivering this new store in the spring of 2018. Tom Stainier, spokesman for Campaign for Real Ale, said, pubs are vital to local communities and economies. The many areas and villages they provide the least remaining public meeting space, with meeting halls and post offices already lost.
Shock as Stourbridge coach operator Group Travel ceases trading. Pensioners fear they have been left out of pocket after a long-running holiday company in Amblecote ceased trading. Holidaymakers say they have not been able to get hold of anyone from independent coach tour operator Group Travel Limited, based at Aldenham on the A491, which has been running since 1982, but they have reported receiving letters from the company confirming it has ceased trading. One couple, regular customers of group travel, were due to go on a trip to Torquay this week, having already paid just over £300 for the winter break. They said, "We've been trying for 2 weeks to get in touch and we rang the hotel in Torquay and they said they do not have a booking for us." It's upsetting for people involved. We've so looked forward to it. It's the same hotel we've gone to 4 or 5 times. They said they went on a trip with the firm as recently as November and added, "We always found them reliable. There was no hint this was going to happen." The company are still listed as active on the company's house website today. That was Tuesday. But holidaymakers have reported receiving letters from Group Travel Limited telling them the company has ceased trading and their holidays have been cancelled. The letter said the firm was taking legal advice from a licensed insolvency practitioner on the company's financial position and further details were provided at a later date. And it added, "You will be contacted in due course regarding the procedure for holiday refunds. We apologise for having to cancel your holiday tour at such late notice and apologise for any inconvenience caused." Another regular customer said the firm had cancelled a weekend trip to York scheduled for November the 25th and he was owed a refund, but a cheque for £242, which he had been expecting, never materialised. He said, "As time went on, we did wonder what was going on."
The head teacher of a Dudley secondary school has quit his post in advance of the release of an Ofsted report. Rob Hatch, principal of Holly Hall Academy in Dudley, decided to leave after inspectors from the education watchdog had visited the school shortly before Christmas, the school says. His interim replacement has been named as Andy Landers, a founding member of the Dudley Academies Trust, the DIT, and Hillcrest School's vice principal for the last 8 years. Joe Higgins, CEO of the Trust, said, "Following the recent Ofsted inspection, Rob Hatch decided to leave the Academy. The Dudley Academy Trust Board fully recognises Mr Hatch's contribution to the leadership of the school and we wish him every success for the future. Holly Hall Academy received a rating of requires improvement in its last full inspection in May 2015. Mr Hatch became principal in September 2015, at a time where Ofsted said the school was facing significant financial challenges and long-standing issues with staffing and leadership. He oversaw a widespread restructure of both areas. Inspectors made a further visit to the 723 people school on Scots Green Close in April 2016. They noted that initially the rate of improvement had been too slow and that senior leaders and governors were not taking effective action to tackle problem areas. But following Mr Hatch's appointment, there had been an acceleration in the rate of improvement, including in the quality of teaching," inspectors said. The school subsequently put in place a strategic plan to raise performance levels across the board. It has been under the wing of the Dudley College Run DIT since September last year. Miss Higgins added, "I am very pleased to confirm that the Ofsted team validated all of the strategic plans for the school that the Trust is implementing at pace. Holly Hall Academy is at a very exciting stage in its journey and we are all committed to ensuring the highest standards in all areas of school life. The school has confirmed it is in the process of recruiting members for a new advisory board, which will have 2 places for parents. The inspection report is due to be published imminently."
Wolverhampton Civic Hall is to stay closed until 2020, with the venue to undergo a major overhaul, costing £23 million, more than was first thought. Significant defects will cause major events booked at the Civic to be cancelled or rescheduled elsewhere in the city, including the Grand Slam of Darts and comedians Jason Manford and Sarah Millican. Restoration work on the Civic has already started, but a much more in-depth job is needed after surveys revealed structural, mechanical, electrical and engineering issues which could damage the building if left unattended. It means major events booked at the Civic Hall, such as Jason Manford and Sarah Millican, will not be held at the venue. Wolverhampton Council bosses said they were working with promoters to try and reschedule the events elsewhere in the city. and that people with tickets would be contacted when the situation becomes clear. The council has confirmed that the Grand Slam of Darts will stay in the city, just not at the Civic while repairs are underway. Building defects are significant and require immediate attention, the council said. The Civic Hall's revamp was originally due to cost £14.4 million. Bosses said the extra £23.6 million would come mainly from the sale of surplus council land and buildings, and said there was also a strong potential to secure external grants and funding from regional and national bodies. Events are not due to return to the Civic until the autumn of 2020. This year, the Civic is celebrating its 80th birthday and remains to this day hugely important to our city's economic well-being. Every year, it attracts hundreds of thousands of visitors, brings in millions of pounds and supports hundreds of jobs. Given the mammoth magnitude of the issues uncovered by our contractors, it's fair to say that the full restoration work we are now proposing is a very different project from the original one. However, a thriving and vibrant Civic Halls that continues to draw people from all over the country is a key part of our vision for a successful city. We believe we need to make this important commitment to secure jobs and investments and give the city a venue it can be proud of for generations to come. The revamp will result in increased seating through new balconies, improved and new bar and hospitality areas, ventilation, lifts and better access to the Wolfram Hall. Significant structural changes are required to accommodate the extra weight of mechanical and electrical equipment, as well as repairs to the fabric of the building. More asbestos also needs to be removed than initially thought.
A disgraced Dudley doctor who carried out a string of sex attacks on women patients at his Dudley surgery to fuel his illicit sexual needs has been warned he faces a lengthy spell behind bars. Jaswant Rathmore also faces being struck off by the General Medical Council for the assaults on four victims at Castle Meadows Surgery. Rathmore has denied 18 charges of sexual assault, and a three-man, nine-woman jury considered the evidence for nearly 6.5 hours at the end of a seven-week trial. The panel found him guilty on a unanimous verdict of 10 charges on four patients, but they cleared him on the other eight on four other patients. Judge Michael Challoner remanded Rathor in custody, telling him, "I need time to think about the sentence in this case." The judge said he understood the four victims also wanted to be present when the case was concluded, and he told the doctor, regrettably, he must stay in custody because of the inevitable nature of the sentence. Rathor, the Kate was told, inappropriately touched the women and his actions played no part in medical treatment for their problems. The doctor went beyond what was proper treatment and it was an excuse for him to be allowed to touch patients sexually. Now Rathor of Plowman's Walk, Walheath, who showed no reaction as the panel returned their verdict, was previously clinical lead on Dudley CCG. The doctor, who qualified as a GP in 1985, maintained in evidence that everything he did was to try and ease their pain and discomfort, and it was totally appropriate for their problems. Heidi Kubik, prosecuting, said the doctor clearly derived sexual pleasure from what he did, and he abused the trust placed in him by patients who had been left shocked and embarrassed. The sex attacks took place during what Rathor described as manipulation therapy as he carried out massage for his patients' medical problems.
Two armed thugs who turned Wolverhampton Street into a scene from the Wild West by firing a shotgun at rival gang members were each starting 14-year jail sentences to die. Akeem Smith, aged 21, and 23-year-old Mohammed Jaral struck in a revenge attack after their friend, Kyle Hamilton, was knifed 6 times in broad daylight in Maureen's. Jaral was with the victim when the stabbing took place on March 3rd in Lowe Street, the city's Crown Court heard. The defendant took the badly injured man to a local medical centre before making a phone call that brought Smith running to the scene. He and Girard left together in a WV Golf and parked close to the alley that led to the nearby Devouring Close, where a man suspected of involvement in the stabbing lived. They walked into the street with the intention of confronting the suspect, but they found they were outnumbered and fled, only to return 5 minutes later, armed with a shotgun which they loaded. The pair took two spare cartridges and left three more in the car. Smith raised the gun and fired at least once, possibly twice, at the men who were still standing in the street, barely 20 minutes after the stabbing, the court heard during their trial. Amazingly, no one was hurt in the attack. CCTV footage of which was shown to the jury during the trial. Armed officers found 10 young men gathered in Devouring Close. Two escaped, but the rest were ordered to lie on the ground before being arrested. These included Smith. Girard was detained a month later. Smith, of no fixed abode, and Girard from Austin Street, with Maureen's, denied being involved in the shooting, but the jury found them guilty of possessing a firearm with intent to endanger life. Judge Amjad Nawaz told them as he passed sentence on Wednesday, "You played out a scene that turned the streets of the city of Wolverhampton into something close to the Wild West. Firearms used in this way have only one purpose, and that is to maim, kill, or at the very least, terrorise. This was more than an innocent coming together. There is an element of gangsterism, and long sentences have to be passed to stamp that out. Police inquiries continue into the stabbing of Mr. Hamilton."
Rough sleepers in the city, tucked into a Japanese feast, thanks to a generous city eatery. Wolverhampton's Iso Sushi decided to welcome in the new year by opening its doors to homeless people. Lashings of oriental treats were dished out to the city's vulnerable during the three-hour initiative on New Year's Day. Yusuf Ahmed of Iso Sushi said it was nice for them to have the experience of coming to a restaurant and being fed, and I think they enjoyed themselves as well. They were all smiles and laughter. It was good. We were giving them extra and they couldn't finish it. Staff at the Chapalash restaurant are now hoping they will be able to host a banquet for the homeless again in the future. Mr. Ahmed, who lives in Tettenhall, added, "It was the first time and I'm hoping to make it something we do on a regular basis in a few months or so. We did it just to give back. I always say it's good to help people when we have got so much ourselves. I just wanted to give back to the community, back to the less privileged people."
Dudley's vision to create a charter for dignity in care will be showcased at a special event next month. Last year, Dudley Centre for Inclusive Living and Disability in Action, with the support of Dudley Council and Heathwatch Dudley, launched a campaign to find out what dignity in care means to local people. The two organisations have spent the past 12 months gathering information from individuals and local groups about how we can improve the way people are treated. At a meeting on Thursday, February the 1st, at Queen's Cross Network, Wellington Road, Dudley, the two voluntary groups will update local people with their progress and present the draft Dignity in Care Charter. The draft charter is a list of top 10 actions, which includes making sure people are included when making decisions, making sure people can understand and be part of a conversation, and treating people fairly. Councillor Nicholas Barlow, Cabinet Member for Adult Social Care, said, "I would like to thank Dudley Centre for Inclusive Living and Disability in Action for taking the time over the past 12 months to speak to local people and developing Dudley's vision for dignity in care. It is absolutely right that anyone receiving care, whether it's from the council or other organisations, should be treated with respect and dignity. And I'm confident the charter will have a positive impact in creating a consistent level of care for local people. I would encourage everyone to come along to the event and find out more about the work to date and how they can get involved. Once finalised, it is hoped the charter will be adopted by local organisations, including care providers. The event on February the 1st is open to everyone, including those who have already signed up to be a dignity champion. People can find out more or register their interest at the event by calling 01384 813460 or go online. Once feedback has been gained from the event, the charter will go to the borough's Health and Welfare Board for sign-off. Once approved, organisations will be able to adopt the Dignity in Care Charter.
Kind-hearted bikers brave the cold on a mass ride out in aid of a voluntary group for the homeless and vulnerable people. More than 60 riders took part in the West Midlands Motorcycle Action Group, the MAG, charity run in aid of Stourbridge-based Leslie's Care Packages for the homeless. Loaded up with hundreds of bags of essential provisions, riders set out on a en masse from Street Bike Dudley Road, Halsowin, on Sunday for the 20-mile run to the Foodstop Cafe near Bridge North, where they were greeted by Leslie's Care Package founder Viv Wood. The voluntary group was set up by V in 2016 in loving tribute to her late husband Leslie after she and her own family fell on difficult times. Since then, V has dedicated all her free time to helping people in need across the borough. V said, "It was absolutely wonderful to see support from so many riders. Their amazing donations will help make such a difference to people's lives. I'm overwhelmed and can't thank them enough." Leslie's Care Packages not only helps the homeless, but also those who face difficult times, providing much-needed provisions and practical hands-on support. And now the group is on a mission to set up a special drop-in centre in the borough. V added, "Homelessness isn't a choice. It can happen to any one of us at any time for a host of reasons and circumstances, in hard times and in sometimes devastating situations. Support has been simply fantastic so far. And now we want to take our course to the next level. We're on a mission to find a suitable venue for a dedicated drop-in centre locally, somewhere people can go to get food, shelter and warmth in winter. We're here to let everyone know there is always hope with Leslie's Care Packages." Colin Brown, Regional Rep for West Midlands Motorcycle Action Group, said, "It is rewarding being able to help in some small way with the work that V and her team do for the community. Her dedication is humbling. I am also in debt to both Bridge North Bikers and Redditch Charity Riders who helped to make this such a successful event. For further information or to make a donation, please email Leslie's Care Packages," and Leslie is spelled L-E-S-L-I-E-S, carepackages@yahoo.com, or visit www.lesliescarepackages.org.
Sprinklers are set to be fitted at high-rise blocks across Wolverhampton following the Grenfell Tower fire at a cost of nearly £20 million. Housing bosses are drawing up plans to have sprinklers fitted despite the huge cost, as they say the safety of tenants is paramount. They are expected to be rolled out over the next 5 years, with flats in Heathtown set to be the first to benefit to coincide with a revamp of the area. Wolverhampton Council's housing boss Peter Bilson said the authority had decided to take action rather than waiting for advice from the government. He said the council was reacting to concerns of many high-rise tenants in the city and that the move could save lives. A total of £19.2 million has been set aside to pay for sprinklers until 2023. Bosses have been keen to address safety at its high-rise blocks following the Grenfell Tower tragedy, which killed up to 80 people and brought the issue into public focus. Councillor Bilson said, "This is a clear indication and statement of intent to address the challenges that we know people are concerned about. We have acknowledged that there is a considerable amount of public concern around the issue. We are not opposed to the fitting of sprinklers. It is in our interest to make sure tenants' health and well-being is the best it possibly can be." The council revealed requests for funding from the government for funding for sprinklers had been so far been unsuccessful, meaning it has had to pledge its own funds towards the programme for the next 5 years. Councillor Bilson said, we have not had any guidance from central government on the review following Grenfell Tower, nor have we had any guidance on regulations from central government. If we are making provision for the sprinklers, we can't be spending on other things. But nevertheless, I do think safety and well-being is a crucial issue. No one can deny the horror of Grenfell Tower and has left us all to reflect. We are not waiting. We hope to have heard something from central government by now. But the reality is we haven't. We feel the fitting of sprinklers is needed to give the public the reassurance they are looking for.
A woman thief who bit two police officers after being caught shoplifting has been jailed. Michelle Smith turned violent after being spotted hiding stolen goods at a Wolverhampton city centre store on January the 11th and being challenged. Two beat bobbies in plain clothes on the lookout for thieves saw the 47-year-old filling her bag with items that had not been paid for at Boots in Dudley Street. As they moved in to make an arrest, the defendant lashed out, biting the arm of one officer and the hand of the other, while also assaulting a security guard. Smith from Faulkner's Farm Drive in Erdington pleaded guilty to theft and the assault of all three victims when she appeared at Walsall Magistrates Court, and she was locked up for 18 weeks. Wolverhampton City Centre Sergeant Kath Lusmore said Smith was initially compliant but then became obstructive and aggressive. Assaults like this are truly outrageous and totally unacceptable. Thankfully, the officers were not seriously injured, but no one should have to go to work and face the potential of being bitten whilst carrying out their duties. I am pleased the magistrates have recognised the seriousness of this assault and imposed a jail sentence. It should send out a strong message that assaults on police will not be tolerated and offenders run the very real risk of ending up behind bars. Between April and December last year, 669 assaults on West Midlands police officers and staff were recorded, which is the equivalent to around two attacks every day. Last week, Chief Constable Dave Thompson said he intends to personally provide courts with impact statements in officer assault cases in order to highlight the effect such incidents have on the force and the wider implications on resourcing. He said, our officers will always do the right thing and routinely put themselves in harm's way to protect the public, but we need to bring to justice criminals who think it's okay to abuse and hit out. Between April and December last year, 356 days were lost as our officers needed time off recovering from assault injuries. Time off recuperating from a senseless attack is time taken away from the communities these officers would otherwise be protecting.
An Aldi store could be built on former council offices in off Bilston Street in Sedgeley. Land is being considered on Bilston Street for a new store where Dudley Council buildings were knocked down in November. Ward councillors have welcomed the move, saying it will help boost trade and eliminate antisocial behaviour. An Aldi spokesperson said, we are always considering new locations for stores across the UK, including in Sedgeley. Once we have confirmed a location, we will update the local community. The proposed new store, which would create new jobs in the area, would be the latest to open in Sedgeley. In August, the town welcomed a new Asda, which opened on the former site of the Co-op. The proposed site for Aldi is located off the land of Bilston Street, between Gould's TV store and Bilston Street car park. It used to house former council offices used for its housing department. The eight staff were moved and the buildings demolished under council cost cutting. But the closed off area was the target of antisocial behaviour, including arson, said Sedgeley Ward Councillor Tina Westwood. The site has been given an option to buy status, meaning interested parties can submit a bid for the land. Councillor Westwood could not confirm that Aldi was looking at the site because discussions are ongoing, but she says that a supermarket is looking to set up there. She said, no planning application has been submitted, but a supermarket is looking at the site. The site has an option to purchase, but it hasn't been sold. There is just a legal note. She added, I would welcome any developments taking place on the site as a result of antisocial behaviour. A number of times it has been set on fire. It was just an attraction for antisocial behaviour. The proposed development has also welcomed by fellow Sedgley Ward councillor Michael Evans, who said, "I believe a new Aldi could be built on the site of former housing offices. I would certainly welcome a new store to bring in business."
A lorry driver is fighting for his life after smashing into the side of a house in Hales Owen. Emergency crews were called to a house near the junction of Carter's Lane and Royal Oak Road shortly after 9:45 on the 22nd of January, where a lorry was found to have crashed into the side of a home, knocking down the brick wall in the process. West Midlands Police confirmed no one inside the property was injured. On arrival, paramedics from West Midlands Ambulance Service quickly turned their attention to the lorry driver, who they found to have a cardiac arrest. Witnesses told crew members that it looked like the man had suffered a medical episode at the wheel just before the vehicle ploughed into the wall of the house. West Midlands Ambulance Service spokesman Jamie Arrowsmith said the man was in a serious condition. He said an off-duty fire officer was already performing CPR when the ambulance staff took over, as well as administrating advanced life support. Police officers and members of the fire service also confirmed they were at the scene, as well as an air ambulance. The air ambulance crew travelled with the lorry driver in the land ambulance to help with further emergency treatment. He was sent to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham and he remains in a serious condition. West Midlands Fire Service tweeted, "Our crews are dealing with an LGV in collision with a house. The driver has been conveyed to hospital and crews are currently making the scene safe with support from our technical rescue team. Carter's Lane between Bourne Avenue and Kent Road Island was closed for the morning and most of the afternoon as a result."
And with that final news item from Margaret, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Sue.
Goodbye from Louise.
And bye-bye from Margaret.
Goodbye, everybody.